We bring in the professor this morning, the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, Ron Wotus. Well, good morning.
Good morning, Marty.
All right, well, let me start with George Kontos last night. As I said, he was sitting in your seat last night. You got to hear a little bit of him. How'd you like it?
Yeah, no, I thought he did a wonderful job. I driving home last night, I have that, you know, 40-minute commute, so I got to listen to George a little bit. And it's fun for me to listen to our guys on the radio or in in-depth conversations. You know, I'm not down in the bullpen with him where most of the talking and debating and all that goes on. But, you know, obviously I've spoke to George a lot over the years, but it was real fun to listen to him do the radio, and I enjoyed listening to him.
Now, bullpen guys, as a matter of fact, they talk. Because what else do they have to do in the bullpen?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've never been down there. You know, I mean, in a minor league player catching once in a while, they'd send me down to catch and warm up somebody. And in the big leagues, they did it, too, because I was a little expendable. If I got hurt down there, nobody cared. But they do. From what I see, they do. I mean, they're down there for all these innings watching the game. They're together. And there's a lot of conversation. There's a lot of debating. And there's not a whole lot of bullpen guys that I've been around that are at a loss for words.
All right, very good. All right, well, he's an econ major from Northwestern, so economics, so you could figure out the trends of the game and the ups and downs of money, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Well, George has been around, too. Look, he's been in this game a long time. He's been with a couple different organizations, so he's lived a little bit, and he knows what it's all about. And I hope he comes on again, because I enjoyed hearing.
Yeah, it was fun. All right. Game last night, and again, this is one that you had two good ones after five in a row that you guys ended up losing. But seven innings from a starter, seven innings, and Peavy certainly giving you seven. There's a little dicey in the sixth. He threw one pitch that sort of went way outside, and I said, uh-oh. And then you got the bullpen going. But talk a little bit about Peavy last night. And there's a whole part of his game that came alive last night.
Yeah. Well, Jake's so important to us as a club, just not every fifth day when he takes the mound, but his energy on the bench. You know, he's such a competitor, and he keeps a lot of people engaged just about the way he goes about it. I mean, he's been doing this a long time, and his fire and his passion for the game really comes through, and that rubs off on other people, and he brings that to the mound, as the fans see, every fifth day. And I thought that game was more Jake Peavy-like. You know, he had his good command, and his breaking ball was sharp. But to me, it boils down to command. You know, he's always been a guy, early in his career, he was a power pitcher. But he's always had the ability to locate the baseball. And when he's locating the baseball, he's tough because, you know, that's what gets hitters out is location more than stuff. We see that all the time with guys that are throwing extremely hard, but they don't locate. And he works both sides of the plate, so they're not just looking in one area. And not only did it with his arm, but obviously with his glove and with the bat.
The glove, let's start with that. And I watch spring training. You run spring training. You're the hardest working guy down there in Scottsdale. And you do pitcher's fielding practice. And I see you hitting some fungos back to the mound. Then a guy catches it, throws to first, it turns, throws to second. There's a ball off to the side of the mound. I didn't see you teaching this kind of play. Where, come on, he did a pop-up slide. Almost, it was like a fumble that he almost went too far and got up and then threw a rocket to first base. I'm sure in Belt's eyes, he said, I just hope he gets it near me.
Yeah, no. Well, look. He's a competitor, and I can tell you this. That's an instinctive play. He's out there. He's going to give everything he has to make a play like he did sliding. Tremendous play. Tremendous play that he made. And you're right. We don't work on that. But I'll tell you this, Marty. When you go in spring training, and Mark Gardner and Rags can tell you this as well. Obviously, Gardy's down there PFPing these guys on the half field every day. You know, we send pitchers down there, and they're working on all these things. But you have some guys that go through the drills, not really fully engaged. You're going half speed. They feel they got it down. And you have other guys like Jake that's committed to what you're doing. He's given 100%. He's engaged in what you're trying to do. And that shows up on the field. And so he gives his all, not only during the game, obviously, but in pregame. And he carries that right into the game.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I didn't realize that you do that. I see in the main field doing it, but Gardy does that all the time down on the half field.
Yeah, in the half field. You know, we have the 2.5 field, so whenever we start batting practice, pitchers go down to that half field.
Okay.
And they always working on their PFP and different plays.
What about the hitting? Look, you're leading the league in RBIs out of the 8 spot, and a lot of that is the pitchers hit there, I think, 15 out of 19 games. And look at Samardzija, which we'll talk about him in a second. But Peavy got a big hit last night. They walk a hitter to get to him. And we're talking Jose Fernandez. We're not talking about, someone who's just up from the minor leagues and, looking the deer in headlights. Fernandez knew he had to get this guy. It's a 2-1 game, and Peavy rips it.
Yeah, that's a backbreaker for the Marlins.
Really?
You're right. You're in that situation. You got the pitcher coming up. You say, okay, we have him with one out. We'll stay away from a big inning. And here he goes and rips a line drive and drives in two. And, I think Bum, in a lot of ways, is, forcing some of these guys. And look, they all take it seriously. But, Bum's so good at the plate in batting practice. I see some other guys trying to step up their game. They take it seriously, and they want to be better. It's such a big part of the game. So I was joking with some of the guys after PV got the hit yesterday because of the run our pitchers have been on. I said, that's it. The pitchers come out at 3:20. They hit for 15 minutes. Then the players come, or 4:20, I should say. They hit for 15 minutes. Then the players come hit for 45 minutes. I said, we're going to switch this up. Tomorrow, the hitters are going to come out early. They're going to hit for 15 minutes. And then the pitchers are going to hit for 45 minutes, and we'll shag for them. I mean, that's how good our pitching staff has been swinging the bat. A lot of big hits so far this season.
And I like Samardzija as an athlete. And he's a crowd pleaser. And I think, in San Francisco, we like that. We like the artistry. We like Pence and everything he does. Someone wrote the other day, they wanted to meet the scout who signed Hunter Pence, and said, what did you see? How did you sign this guy? And Samardzija's a little bit of that athleticism. And you always told me this, the athleticism eventually takes over, and a player, you see it. But for Samardzija, it's a lot of fun to watch him. And when he got the hits, I forget who it was a couple of years ago, got a hit and got to second base and just was beaming and, was excited and all that. It was that play again. He got the hit, got the second base, and it was a bigger hit than scoring a touchdown against USC.
Wow. Well, if you would have...
In my mind.
Yeah, right. No, in my mind, too, because we needed to win badly. And again, there's another guy that did it with his arm and with the bat, and it shows you how important that part of the game is. And, for these pitchers, they always want to get their bunts down because, or if they can swing the bat, you might stay in a game. Boach is more apt to leave you in the seventh inning if you're down by a run, if you can handle the bat, instead of always pinch hitting. But a guy that's just an out, you're not going to have that leeway to stay in a ball game that may be close because you need to score a run. You might have to give that guy who can swing the bat another opportunity because he has a chance to do something. But if you had John Barr on the show, he would tell you, obviously, when you draft, you look for athleticism. And we see it at the big leagues when we get the players. We get to see the finished product. But a guy like Samardzija, he can do so much on the baseball field, and there's a part of his game that helped us win the game offensively, swinging the bat. So when you can get athletes on the field and can swing the bat like that, it's going to help your offense tremendously.
I like to see him run.
Yeah.
You put 85 on his back. I don't know what his number was. But honestly, I'd like to see the guy on the field do these things. It's kind of fun to watch it.
Yeah. Well, and it's fun for him. I mean, look, he wants to play. There's pitchers who, they just want to pitch. They're not worried about their bunting and their hitting. When they get on the bases, they're not thinking about, going on a ball in the dirt. But I can tell you, Jeff Samardzija is waiting for a ball in the dirt. He'd probably steal if you let him. Just like another great competitor was Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux, twice against us, if you played behind him at first base in a close game, he'd steal the base. And in today's game, a lot of, managers, they don't want their pitchers trying to steal. They don't want them to get hurt. They don't want them to exhaust their energy. They want to keep it for the mound. But Greg Maddux, that's the type of competitor he was. If you tried to play behind him and get a little advantage on the defense, he'd steal the base.
you got a rare opportunity, and that is to chat with Barry Bonds. He brought the lineup card out. I thought that was a nice gesture by Don Mattingly to do that. And you were in a long conversation with Bonds at the plate. What were you talking about?
Well, obviously, I haven't seen him since last year. You know, Barry was here even since he retired. He'd come in and help us out over here. So I just asked him how he was doing. Was it good to be home? This is his home. You know, he grew up here. This is the place where he had a tremendous career, and the fans all remember that. And I asked him, you know, how it felt to be back. You could tell he was excited to be here. He had a big smile on his face, was feeling good about being back here. I think it was a real special moment for him the first night here in San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, I said it, you know, we don't do politics, and I said this on the show yesterday, but if the country can deal with all that's going on in this primary election with all the personalities and the stuff I've never seen in my life before, baseball can deal with Barry Bonds. You know, they can deal with it, you know, compared to what we're seeing on TV every day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, you know, Barry was the greatest player that I've seen come through here. And we have a great history with, you know, Mays, McCovey, Marichal, Perry, all the guys that he's right up there with all those guys. And he brought a lot of joy to the city by his performance. And, you know, good for him that he's back in the game coaching in Miami. He wants to do that this part of his life, and he has a lot of things to offer. So wish him well. And, you know, it was good to see him.
Yeah, I can. Well, I don't know if it was true or not. I should have asked about this. They said he did a batting practice and beat everybody or something, you know, hit him out. I don't know if that, you know, there's always these legends like Ted Williams did that. Tom Grieve. Remember Tom Grieve?
And, yes.
Yeah, Tom Grieve played for the old Washington Senators. And they come into Baltimore, and Ted Williams is the manager. And he's talking about hitting and all that. And sure enough, he comes out and says, all right, three of you guys, go ahead and hit. And they hit, and they hit one or two out. And then Williams comes up and, like, hits four out. And he was, like, 56 years old at that point. So, you know, the great ones are always there. And it's fun to see him at the ballpark, I think.
Yeah, and, well, that's what the game's about. Look, let's face it. I mean, the fans, they want to see Barry Bonds. They want to see the great players of the game. And they want to see their personality. They want to see them even when they're done playing. They want to see them as coaches. You know, that's what drives this game. And Barry is certainly an iconic figure, no doubt, in San Francisco. Whatever people think about him in the other parts of the country, you know, I'm interesting how his reception was in New York and places where, you know, when he was playing here, he'd go to these cities and he would get booed. Well, he never got booed here in San Francisco because the people got to watch him play every day and see how good he was for his team. So it was a good moment for Barry.
All right, we'll take a break. Ron Wotus with us, the bench coach of the Giants. I want to talk to you a little bit about Duffy hitting in the three spot and giving a little baseball strategy, what it does for the lineup. Also, the St. Louis Cardinals, they have hit seven pinch hit home runs in the month of April, and that's a major league record. And I want to ask you a little bit about pinch hitting. You got Connor Gillespie back up, and a left-handed pinch hitter. And what advice you give pinch hitters? So think about it, and what it takes to become a good pinch hitter. And you got one guy who's sort of a secret weapon these days, and he's running like a greyhound, and that is Gregor Blanco. My God, I mean, you know, he puts one out off that wall. He's not stopping.
Yeah.
And if Flan was here, I'll tell you, you know, Flan would be waving him down the line. But this has been pretty interesting with Blanco and his triple. So we'll do that more when we come back right after this.
Get up off of that thing.
Now back to the patio of the Public House for Weekends in the Park. Here's Marty Lurie and Pecan on KNBR 680.
Well, we got a good matchup today as the Giants go for the sweep. Adam Connolly goes for the Miami Marlins. 25 years old. Whoa, a left-handed pitcher out of Washington State. Ben Stein says he was a reliever in college. 0-1 with a .461 earned run average. But his last, he was working on 12 scoreless innings before Washington got him with a couple of home runs and some inherited runners scored. And the line didn't look quite as good, but everything I hear about him is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I saw that game he was pitching against Washington. We had it on in the clubhouse, and he threw the ball well, located well, fastball, you know, he's got a breaking ball and a changeup. And statistically, lefties have handled him okay. You know, that changeup might be a very effective pitch for him, which, you know, gives the righties three pitches to worry about, and lefties typically only two, the fastball slider. So we haven't seen him. We'll be ready for him.
Yeah, lefties 4-for-10. A walk and two strikeouts. Righties 10-for-42, but the two homers, 3 and 17, 3 walks, 17 strikeouts. So yeah. you're exactly right about that. Matt Cain on the other side, 0-2, take away the fifth inning and, you know, put him, give him the Cy Young.
Yeah, no, I thought Matty's throwing the ball good all year. Coming out of spring training, you know, he had the little, blip with his arm, so he got pushed back 10 days and then picked it back up, and his pitch count probably wasn't up as high as you know, it would have been nice to see, and I thought he's throwing the ball good on all his starts. You know, had the bad inning last time, but his stuff looks crisper, his command looks better, and I think he's only going to get better and better as we go forward.
Well, pitching is the story, I'll tell you that. When you get these well-pitched games, it takes the pressure off the bullpen. You can talk about the offense all day long, and you've got good hitters. We know they're going to hit at some point, which they did last night and the night before. But let me tell you got to have a well-pitched game. It changes the whole tone of the game. It changes the approach of the hitters and everything else.
No question. The game's it's more fun to play at any level when you have a well-pitched game. It sets the tone. Like you said, you know, your pitcher goes deep into the game. It rests the bullpen. You know, the toughest games are, you know, the 10 to 11. And you can win three games, you know, 1-10-11, 1-9-8, 1-14-12. And next thing you know, your bullpen's in shambles, right? Because guys are beat up and you're just, you can't manage it the same. So, low scoring game, starter getting deep into the game is the key for success, to keep people healthy, keep them in their own roles, and keep them sharp. So I think even the position players, they want to get their hits, but you know, a well played close game where you move a runner, a sack fly can be the difference in the game. That's a fun baseball game for myself.
Yeah, it's called getting Colorado'd. That's what happens to your pitching staff, and we saw it coming. Knew it was coming. It wasn't a disaster. You know, it didn't chew everybody up, but you see it coming. I always say it's like playing ball on the moon. Just get out of there and just move on. So we saw it on the road trip. Last night was exactly what you said. You got Span gets on, Panic comes through with a hit, and Duffy gets a hit in the three spot. I want to get your thought about that. And then maybe one of the best at-bats of the night is Posey against Fernandez, and Posey did what he's supposed to do, and that's get it into the right center field gap and get an RBI. That was a good first inning.
Yeah. Well, again, I think when you can score early, especially against a guy like Fernandez or any starter, a lot of times these guys, you know, the best time they get them is early before they settle in. You know, Kershaw, I feel he's the same way a lot of the time. I don't know if you looked at the radar gun last night, but Fernandez, he was only throwing about 90 miles an hour in the first inning. Then he started getting up, you know, 94, 95 as the game progressed, whether he gets loose or it's just, you know, the adrenaline or the game that he continues to get better. And you see it on our side once in a while. You see a guy come. I remember the start that Johnny Cueto had a couple of weeks ago. He had a rough first inning, gave up the 5 runs. His velocity wasn't there, and then he turned it up a notch. So scoring early is always takes the pressure off the pitcher. And with these good guys, if you know they're not settled in, if you can get them early, boy, it makes a huge difference.
Boy, it does. That's the story of pitching. That goes back to Whitey Ford and all the rest of them. You know, Marichal, all the rest of them. Get them early. Duffy is in the three spot. Bruce Jenkins and I talked about this yesterday on the air. He wrote a little bit about it this morning. I'll ask you your opinion, and I don't know, it just gives the lineup a little more flexibility. And George Kontos talked about comfort, and that Duffy's comfortable there. But, you know, you got the Pagan in the nine spot, then you got Span, and you get Panic, and you got guys who can run, and the guys who can handle the bat. And you don't have to rely on a home run, but you got action. It's a little different for you. You know, you can do things. How do you like Duffy in the three spot? What does it look like to you?
Yeah, well, I think that's accurate. I think if you look at the last couple games, and as the lineup, we go through the lineup, it does give Boach more options, and he has a lot of flexibility with the personnel that we have. We have multiple guys that probably could hit all over the lineup, really, at the top of the order, or down in an RBI spot. You know, in Duffy's case, I think Matt Duffy, he's a very good hitter, and I think he has a nose for an RBI. So he was early down in the order where he got a chance to drive in some runs, but the lineup just wasn't as quick and as clicking as well. And maybe it's a short sample, you know, sure. It might be the guys we saw, but he is comfortable hitting third. He did it last year and did it very well for us. He's not intimidated by that spot at all, and it does give us some more flexibility and options. Look, you got three guys that can, you know, or two guys that can run, because he can steal a base too in the three hole, and you got a chance to create. You can hit and run with Panic, you can hit and run with Duffy, so it does give Boach more options to be a little more aggressive and try to create a run opposed to just letting the guys go take their at bats.
I like it. I like it. I really do. I think it gives you a lot more, what you said, flexibility. You had a replay last night that did not get overturned. Span at second base. I watched it 35 times, and you tell me, how did that not get overturned?
Yeah, you know, it was very, very close, and it was the seventh inning, and we said, what the heck? You know, Sean, to his credit, he thought he was out. He really did. He thought that he was out. But we just felt that it was worth taking a crack at that point in the game where we were at. And, of course, if seventh inning on, if you have another replay, you can always ask them to take a look at something to get the play right, even if you lose your challenge. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know what they're looking at in New York. You know, we've talked about this before. There's been plays where I thought for sure it would be overturned, and it's not, and vice versa. So it's flip a coin sometimes for me on what they're going to rule.
I think we need an explanation. Honestly, it's a new element of baseball. So they should put out a little, you know, five sentences. Okay, we reviewed it. This is what we saw. Just tell people so then that people can adjust and understand what the law is, so to speak, and you know, understand if you're violating the law or not. You have to lay it out. You can't be vague and ambiguous. So, you know, a play like that, just type out four sentences. We reviewed it, and this is what we saw. The foot was in there, and we're going to call him out.
Well, along those lines, well, we do get the benefit of getting not an explanation, but we do get all the video replays in an email. So the league will send them out so we can review all of them that have taken place, and then you can form your own opinion. You still don't know why they ruled it a particular way, but so it gives you a little more experience on what they're ruling. And again, you would think watching all those would clear up the decisions, but sometimes for me, I'm still shaking my head. I just don't see the ruling always being as consistent of what your own eyes see.
Yeah, most of the writers, Alex and Andy and most of them who commented last night, were adamant that, you know, he was safe and all that, so they missed it. All right. Pinch hitting. The Cardinals have seven pinch hit home runs. Well, what do you tell a pinch hitter? You got Gillespie up here primarily, I would imagine, coming off the bench. A nice left-handed veteran bat, played well for the White Sox, had a good spring. Seven home runs. Can you imagine this? Seriously, seven home runs as pinch hitters in the month of April. What do you tell a pinch hitter? Well, what's the advice that you like to give?
Well, after hearing that, I'm going to tell our pinch hitters to hit like the Cardinals pinch hitters. That's number one.
Whatever.
As a matter of fact, when I get done here, I'm going to go talk to Gillespie. It's a tough job, and Connor's been around a little bit. You know, typically guys that have been everyday players in their career and then they switch to a DH or a pinch hit role, they have more experience in handling that. Typically young guys who used to playing every day, now they have to pitch. They just don't have the mentality of their experience. You know, one, you got to be prepared. And of course, today it's not a problem because everybody has a batting cage right off the dugout. We got coaches throwing to these guys. It's not like when we pinched it and they tell you to pinch it at Candlestick and you've been sitting out there in that cold weather for nine innings. There's nowhere to go. You just pick up the bat and you got to get loose on the on-deck circle. So It's a little bit easier today. But, you know, the mentality I think that most hitting coaches would tell you is be ready to swing the bat. Yeah. You're looking for the fastball, and you're letting it go. You don't want to get behind in the count. You'd much rather see a pinch hitter get up there and get a swing off early in the count, not take fastballs. Hunt the fastball, and you gauge it a little bit. You know, if you're not loose, at least when we played, you take a swing, you gauge your timing and the movement on the ball by taking that swing, opposed to going up there and taking a couple of strikes. Now you have one strike. You haven't even taken the bat off your shoulder, and you're pinch hitting. So get your rips in. Take your swings.
All right, John, that's good advice. I like it. Before we ask you one last question about the road trip coming up, Blanco. You know, he hits one in that gap. George said that these guys can smell it. They can smell the triple, you know, once they see where the ball is going. He's running great. I mean, I think he got faster. Maybe it's my eyes that are getting slower, but he's moving.
Well, he was. He was moving. He's well rested, you know.
Yeah.
He's hit the ball, and he was out of the box. He was thinking triple right away. And that's where it starts. A lot of times guys, you know, they don't smell that triple. They're going, they think they have a double, and then they try to turn it on to a triple. So, you know, Blanc plays the game hard. He's always ready to go. And he is such a valuable player for us because he plays very good defense. And when he gets an opportunity to start, you know, he energized us last night with the two triples. So, you know, he's not an everyday player for us right now, but he is so valuable in that role. And I think Boach is going to try to get him back in there today after the day he had, which he deserves. You know, it'd be nice if we can get more playing time for him because that's the type of player he is off the bench. He's one of the best fourth outfielders in baseball.
Yeah, no, I agree. Very good. Oh, so we'll see if he's in the lineup today, Gregor Blanco. New York is coming up and Cincinnati. And, you know, it's funny. I look at you played Milwaukee. You played the Marlins. You haven't played, you know, the big boys yet. Well, you get your first taste out of the division. The big boys is coming weekend in New York, and you've got Mats and DeGrom and Syndergaard and all that coming up, then off to Cincinnati. But I want to ask you the trip. Is New York your favorite stop on the way? I know you get to go home and see everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd have to say, yeah, it's at the top of the list. Of course, my family, I get to see them. I grew up in Connecticut, and I think we have an off day when we get there. I think this time I'll drive home and see Mom for a few hours before I head back. And my brother might come back to New York with me. So I get to spend time with my family, which I very rarely get to do. The city's great, obviously. I like to walk, whether it's Cincinnati. I do a lot of walking, and what's, you know, there's not a better city in the world to walk. You have Central Park if you want to go watch what's going on over there, or just walk the city and you know, stop for coffee somewhere. So, yeah, New York's at the top of the list. I really enjoy going back to the East Coast.
Oh, beautiful. All right. And shows, do you go broad? Are you a Broadway guy?
Not so much. You know, my wife is, though. When Lori comes, she goes to shows. You know, she don't catch many games.
I know
she'll
that.
She'll come on occasion. She'll go to the shows with the other girls. I've been to a few when we've had off days. If we were there together and on an off day, I would go with her. Of course, we don't have an opportunity. I like the dinner thing. You know, I'd rather go out for the big dinner.
Got good restaurants there?
Oh, come on. Yeah, the best. You know, one that me and Billy Hayes have been to just because, you know, today's great. You go to these food channels, they talk about all these different restaurants, but one that we both go to that we like is Spark Steakhouse. That's where the old mobster got gunned down in the front of the place. But what a unique steakhouse, a nice place. And then there's a place over by Carnegie Hall where we stay called Patsy's. Mm. It's a small Italian place where Frank Sinatra used to play, go and sing. It's a real small place, a lounge act over there in the beginning, and he was there for years. So I've been over there a few times and had a chance to take my family. So it's nice to find places that have a little history, Joe.
No, I love it. It sounds like out of The Godfather. You know, it's a nice family restaurant. Everyone minds their own business. So just drop the gun and walk out and don't look at anybody. All right,
yeah,
I like
just
it.
Don't get a seat with your back to the window.
I like it. Cincinnati, how's Cincinnati for you?
Well, Cincinnati's, it's a good sleeping town, Cincinnati. Okay. You know, that's where you catch up on your rest. And, you know, I walk there as well. It's a great river walk they have. I don't have the book. I know Boach got the walking book. I have to read it and see if he has any of these spots in his walking trail. But you leave the ballpark, you can go along the river. You go forever. There's a great walking trail. And then, of course, after the game, you can walk across the bridge into Kentucky. Mm. And a few years back, I was walking with my good friend Joe LeFay, who's now our advanced scout. And we walk across the bridge, and we're going in these small neighborhoods over there in Kentucky. And here we come across this little speakeasy, and the name of it is Coach's Corner.
Ah, perfect.
Coach's Corner. So I've been there a couple times. I might take Jeff Head over there again this year. We went over to have a drink after the game last year.
Very good. Well, thanks as always. Great job. Great job.
And it's good being with you, Marty.
Yeah, have a good trip, and we'll see you back, I think, Colorado. I forget who's coming in next, but that'll be our weekend here in a couple of weeks. All right, thanks. Take care.
You got it. Sounds good.
All right, that's the bench coach of the Giants. Always a pleasure to have him on Sunday morning, Ron Wotus. More coming up on the Sports Leader.